The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, faster than a speeding bullet, flavorful, and foundational Friday. That's pretty good. As we gather together as brothers and sisters and not twisters, let's see if you can get that one, to the glory and honor of our King. First up, has anyone ever told you to be quiet, to not shout, or even shh, whisper? Did you know that sometimes God wants us to make some noise with all that we've got? We're going to talk about that. And next, people often put their own spin on other people. Christians and non-Christians do this quite a bit, but we should hold our own no-spin zone. Reference to the past. Thank you very much. And finally, wearing clothing to restrict us from moving forward kind of seems, I don't know, dumb. So let's throw off and throw out any clothing that we wear that holds us back from getting closer to the Lord.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can call the show at 972-445-0770. You got Terrific T hanging out by the phone. She's hanging there. She's got a warmer, a oven mitt warmer, so it won't be too hot when she picks it up. See, she's just ready for you. That's the first thing. The second thing is you can text at any point, actually, but you can text and communicate with the show. You do that by contacting us through 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, okay? Those are the two big ways. We have tried to invent other ways for you to contact us, so we thought we might consider going to the local newspaper and see if you want to take out an ad, put your ad in the paper, and perhaps I will be able to read that paper when I'm doing the show. The problem is, when you want to reach us through that paper, the show will be long gone and we'll be into the next week. So I don't think that's going to work. Here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter if it's praise reports. It doesn't matter if it's prayer requests. As you can tell from the last couple days, it doesn't matter if people are just calling and talking about what we're talking about, or even pop questions, whatever the case may be. And of course, trivia. I do want to say this. There was one thing that Terrific T said. She said, I don't know how you come up with so many trivia questions. And now I'm going to show her the second book that I have. I have one book in front of me. Here's a second trivia book, 5,000 questions. At four questions a pop, that's good for another 1,250 shows.
So big. Oh, Lord.
It's only 5 years worth, folks. Wow. You can do it. It's doable. All right, let's start off with our first trivia question. Not that hard, but thoughtful regardless. What are the names of the two Bible characters who did not die? Remember, everybody's supposed to die. Two people did not die. What are their names? Yeah, I might have asked this one before, and there'll be several questions like that, but if you know, you can call in or you can text 214-210-8483. Got some fascinating news to tell you. Get ready. Boy, I hope if you're driving, you need to make sure you're buckled in safely, you're focused on the road, but while you're listening to me, do not get shaken. Do not be overwhelmed, please. We are going to be doing, starting in probably about 2 or 3 weeks, Genesis Devotional teachings. I made an arrangement with one of my professors. I've gotten permission to utilize his book that we used in one of our classes for the PhD, and he's given me permission to use that on the show in any way I want to, and it's very devotional. I'm very excited about it because he has some terrific insights, and so I'm excited about that. I've wanted to teach Genesis for a while, but I've been praying about it, and this is a great way to go about it where I can teach it from a devotional point of view. And he's got this terrific book. We'll talk about that later and get into that down the road. But I'm just telling you up ahead of time, stuff is coming. Isn't that good? Did you not know when you woke up? Stuff was going to happen today. And here's something that you could really appreciate, especially if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. Stuff will happen tomorrow. And even if you're not a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, stuff will still happen tomorrow. See how that works for everybody? What is it, Friday? It's got to be Friday. That's all I can think. Let's get into the text. We're not even going to wait. Of course, never forget our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord. Never be ashamed. Always be ready. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. The building blocks of any faithful believer that should be present in your life. Let's go to this text. We've reviewed this text before so that you can know in the next 5 years, we will review it again. Just in case you're wondering. This text means a lot, and it's important. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples got together, there was a large crowd leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." All right? I love this text. This is one of those texts where you get it into and you get into it and you think about how these things took place. And you got to put yourself there when it's taking place. So Jesus comes to Jericho. There's a large crowd that's gathered. They've got people all over. They're just into this, Jesus is coming, wow. And there's a blind man, and his name is Bartimaeus. Now, the fact that they say he's the son of Timaeus tells you that he has some prestige, actually. Even though he's blind, typically you don't get the son of unless it's a person that has some kind of, I don't want to say royalty, I want to say more like status. There's some kind of status going on, some element within his family. They're well-known. I don't know, they could be Rockefellers, who knows? It's the idea is that they're well-known, and here's this guy, and he's sitting by the roadside, and he's begging, and perhaps the family has ostracized him, or perhaps he's begging because that's the way that he generates his income, whatever the case may be. All I know is he's by the side of the road. He's begging. He hears what's going on. And I want you to think about this. Jesus is walking in and people are talking, but this guy's blind, so he doesn't see anything. Everything he takes in from the Lord is by hearing. You get that? Everything he takes in from the Lord, from everything that's going around, is all coming through his ears. And he gets enough information and has maybe heard conversations before. There's a limit to what we know, so you can be careful. You got to be careful in adding too much in there. But he cries out. He says, "Jesus of Nazareth," to Jesus of Nazareth, he says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, there's three things that you got to see here. Super important. One, he cries out. And there are times where you are before the Lord and you're in, I don't know, you're in like your prayer closet, or you're, you know, it's quiet and so on and so forth. Nobody's around. You're kind of whispering before the Lord. And then there's times where you go out maybe by yourself on the beach, or, well, that'd be the beach if you were in California, but you go out into a mountain or you go out to this forest, or you go someplace by yourself and you look up to God and you scream with all your might and go, "What is going on?" You know, it's like some kind of communication. Now, I lived in Arizona, so there were a lot more mountains, a lot more opportunity to do that from the mountain point of view than the beach point of view. But I also lived in California, did it in both places. Here's the bottom line. There is a time for you to whisper and be quiet, and there's another time for you to shout from the rooftops. That's called being human. That's normal. And the first thing he says after he's shouting is he says, Jesus, son of David, he is either already or well on his way to understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. You only give son of David title to the Messiah. So he is either, to some degree, either stepping in it by faith or is already convinced this guy is creating such a ruckus. I know this has got to be the Messiah. My hope is finally coming to realization. And so he cries out, son of David. And then he says, have mercy on me. Now you would think, well, that's the NIV translation, and the Greek word is eleo, eleo. And that word actually in the Greek means to be kind or to help. He wasn't asking for forgiveness of sins, and yes, some commentators actually think, oh, the guy's just asking to be forgiven for sins. It's like, what, are you crazy? The guy is like saying, help. And so this is one of the reasons you'll hear me say that I think this is one of the greatest prayers ever that you could ever pray in your entire life for all the great things you can come up with is, Jesus, help. Because that pretty much tells you everything you want to know. You're saying, be kind to me. Help in this situation. You're saying, L-A-A-O. You're saying, oh, please, come on now. And there are times when you need to just forget all of the conventional thinking and processing and just cry out to the Lord. You've heard me say on this show before, it's amazing how many Christians have no problem coming to the Lord after they've exhausted every possible realm or way of solving their problem. And then when they've run out of things, then they go, now I'm going to ask the Lord for help. Here's a huge clue. Start by asking the Lord for help. Don't finish by asking the Lord for help. Ask him in the beginning, not at the end. Show the faith early. Recognize his messiahship. Recognize Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Yeshua HaMashiach is the Messiah. And you should be able to say, Yeshua HaMashiach. You should be able to say, Eleu, have mercy on me. Be kind. Help me. I need help. Just say, Jesus, help. That gets a lot of attention from Jesus, by the way. He really likes that. When we come back, we're going to look at how much attention it actually got, not just from Jesus, but from the crowds. Who are the two people that did not die? It was Enoch and Elijah did not die. Enoch was translated. Elijah went up in a whirlwind, just to make everybody know what's going on. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Huh. Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-aged line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A lot of people say, you know, Dave, when you do teaching, there's all this, like, you do this, like, entertainment stuff and so on and so forth. Why don't you just teach? This is how I teach. That's it. If I'm teaching and I'm bored, I won't do it. So this is what keeps me from being bored. So there you go. That's your answer. That's all you got to know. Here are a couple things we need to cover. Do not forget, please, 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 you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. Also call in at 972-445-0770. I know I can say that faster. Ready? 972-445-0770. Says that fast?
Man, that was that's great.
Right. All right.
972.
See, like Eeyore.
445.
07. Sharon, 0. See? All right. So, bottom line is you can reach out to us. Here's our second question. First one's a good one. I like that first one, by the way. People forget about Enoch. I remember the pastor who taught, it wasn't the first time I heard it, but the way he said it, and he's talking about Enoch, and he goes, just think, the guy was, you know, with the Lord 300 years, and then the Bible says that he wasn't, for God took him. He was translated. That's the best or closest word we have to. But the guy made this really funny setup, and he was like, you know, he's just a regular guy, loves the Lord, he's painting. He's painting the side of his barn, and then the Lord takes him. And his wife's like going, Enoch. Like, do you know how long she must have done that for? Anyhow, I thought that was pretty funny. Here we go. What was the hometown of King David? He had a hometown. Actually, it's very specifically defined in Samuel. What is the hometown of King David? If you think you know, you can call in, or you can text in to our fabulous 214-210-8483 number. Do not forget our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, and please don't forget on the HeMustIncrease.org, that's your opportunity to give. It doesn't matter whether if you give $5, people think, well, it's really good when people give big amounts. Of course it is. I mean, who would say it's not? But any amount and any giving and new giving is a blessing. And we pray over everybody the same way, whether you give or not. But we need the money to keep the show going. That's it. There's nothing weird about it. This is what I do. I do this, and I spend 5 hours of studying a day for school, which I don't want to talk about right now. Because guess what? My next class, all I have is my final left, which is good, which is bad. It's good because all I have left is the final. What's bad is that all I have left is the final. And it's like, you know.
Well, you got this. Good luck.
I get it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I think I'll probably try and do it this weekend because I have a next class starting like in a week. That's like, I told my wife, I'd like to get some breathing here. Don't forget, I had done yesterday what I had never done before, and that is I have endorsed a book in the sense that I would make a reference to it. I would tell you to buy it. I would encourage you to buy it. I would refer you to buy it. The book is called This Day. It's by Pastor Ray Bentley. I get nothing for this, zero. And so much so, just to let you know, on the website, hemustincrease.org, I put a little picture of the book. If you click on it, it'll take you right to Ray's website where you do all the stuff. Okay? I didn't even tell Ray I was doing it. I'm telling you, it's a great devotional book. We've taught from it here. It's a really good one, and we think you would greatly appreciate it. Let's get into the text. Then we'll get into the dictionary the next segment, the Yiddish dictionary that we're using. Okay, so on our text, we were talking about blind Bartimaeus, and that's important. By the way, the trivia question again, for those that missed it, we're looking at David's hometown. What was David's hometown? You know, like where was he? You know, what was the hometown of King David? Okay, all right. If you don't, I'm surprised we don't have more responses to that. We'll help you out as we go along. Here is the next verse in that Mark chapter 10 portion. We did Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and 47. And you've got the blind Bartimaeus who's shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look what happens in verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. I want to talk to you about this. This is a huge key for people to understand. Look. You are unique. God made you unique. I want you to take a look, if you can, without doing anything dangerous. Just look at your hands. Look at the both sides of your hands. Recognize that you have fingerprints on the tips of your hands that nobody else has. They have a unique identity signature. That is also true, by the way, with optically, they have determined, and that's why you see all those spy movies now where they do the little laser thing on the eyes, because optically they have the same kind of signature. The bottom line is that God made you unique, regardless of whether somebody else does and or does not like you, or does and or does not appreciate you. And God is the author of life, and you are a part of what he has created. And people might not like the way that other people fit into certain boxes or don't like the boxes at all. And that's been going on since, I don't know, as far back as Cain and Abel, as far as we can tell. We don't have any idea whether Adam and Eve had any falling out, especially after they sinned. Odds are good. We don't know. Here's what we do know. We do know that people will often step in to give you their spin, their position, their way on it. And here's this guy, Bartimaeus, and the guy's blind, right? He's got nothing to lose. It's not like he's about to lose a political position. And people are rebuking him and telling him to be quiet. And what's going on, in case you haven't figured it out, is he's a beggar. And so even though he's got some status, he's just not good enough because he's not a full human being. And so the people are like, stop whining. That's what they're saying to him. And he's like, this guy is like getting, you know, brutalized. He has a very tough life, and now he's getting brutalized by other people. Let me say something to you. Every one of you, every single one of you, there will be people in your life, whether they seem like the crowd or not, whether they're family or not, no matter what the level is, that will continually try to rebuke you and get you to be quiet and to shut you down and put their spin on you as to how you should act or how you should behave. Here is the only letter you ever have to send them in a postcard. Ready? You turn around a postcard and write this. Okay, for those that don't know, that's called a Bronx cheer. Bronx cheer is, if you actually use this on OK Google or on Amazon, it will not pick it up. I'm just telling you, I've tried this multiple times. It's a favorite saying of the Jewish people. My mom would say to me quite often, especially if we'd have a theological debate, she would say, I was going to write you a letter, but I couldn't spell. That's what my mom would say. And so the idea is you don't let people determine you and your walk and your pursuit and your attempts for Jesus Christ. You don't let them put their spin on you. You don't let them put you in a box. You have unbelievers and believers that will do this both. You know what? Doesn't matter. There's only one person, being, that you are trying to quote-unquote impress. And impress is really the wrong word. Pursue would be the right word. And everybody else can just take a ticket. You understand that, what that means? Just take a ticket. Take a number and sit down. Because it's not worth you changing your life because they don't like your level of dignity. There was this guy, and he's part of our trivia question. And when he came home, he was dancing with all his might before the Lord, and he was just letting it go and letting it rip. And his wife got so mad at him, and she's like, "You were so undignified before all of those maidens. How could you do that?" And David's answer was, "I will be even more undignified because I did it before the Lord." And then he did get her. He really did nail her. "Don't get mad at me," is an indirect way he said this, "because God chose me and not your dad's family." It's like there was bitterness going on there already. But the idea is that David would not change who he was because it didn't suit the crowd or the royalty or the professional people who cares? Listen, God chose you out of all of these people. People think, well, are more people going to go to hell than go to heaven? Yes. Why? Well, the road is wide to destruction, but the road in is narrow. So that's all you got to know. So there's fewer people that find it, right? But God chose you, and you're on that road, and you're a part of that kingdom. And he didn't ask you to do that so that you can now conform to be like everybody else wants you to be. You're supposed to be who God made you to be. And people want you to alter. And I appreciate that they want to do that because I think genuinely a few people think they're doing that for your best interests. I do. But the majority of people just want you to alter and conform so that you can alter and conform. So that everybody can be part of the herd and just, you know, fall off the cliff together. No. That's your answer. No. The Jewish Defense League asked us to stop talking about Jesus Christ from the Jewish point of view. Here's my answer. No. I'm not going to do that. No, of course not. We get back. We're going to talk about what this guy, how he responded, and how Jesus responded to that. The answer to the question, by the way, where King David was born, oh, little town of Bethlehem, same place. Ah! Fascinating, huh? All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No, you need to do that first. Yeah. I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign?
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's right. Ladies
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay, a captain. Now, it is true.
Name the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They are not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Why are you guys listening to this? Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I remember when I first did that story, and then after we had finished that segment, Noah was the producer at the time. Him and I talked about that. I mean, I think we laughed hysterically for so long. It's like, is no longer Captain Crunch. Now, Captain Crunch happens to be one of my favorite cereals. I like the peanut butter crunch. I don't know if you like. And then a lot of people like the Crunchberry one. So
yeah, I like the Crunchberry one, but the peanut butter one's good too.
Yeah, I like that, but I'm just happy for that. Noelle's not a big fan of that. She likes she's a Frosted Flakes gal. She just likes Frosted Flakes. And then of late, she does that double chocolate. Or, you know, whenever we have our cheat meal now, it's like she comes and she brings a box of cereal. I'm going to get in trouble. You guys need to forget that. You did not hear that. Vooba, 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 ding. Forget that. Okay. Let's see. Let's get our next trivia question in. Eric was the only one that gave a secondary answer. Very funny, Eric, on the Bethlehem answer, which was still correct. 972-445-0770 is the phone number, 214-210-8483. Just remember, I love you guys, and, you know, you guys are great. I mean, you make my this ministry and what we do a complete joy, and I appreciate that. Here you go. Here's the next big question. Many of us can insert our names, but we're actually looking for the Bible person that did this. Notice I didn't say Bible character. That's twice I've caught myself. Ever since he called in and said that thing about character, it's a good idea. The Bible person that said this, who said this? I am a man of unclean lips. Now, all of us could say that, but who said that? Who is the person who said that in the Bible? If you know, you can call in or text. Please don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget to check it out. And also, Pastor Ray's little link is up there for you if you want to get that book from him. And then I will be giving you information about the book in regards to Genesis. I'm not getting any money for that either. I don't, just not the way I roll. But if we end up teaching it, which I'm sure we're going to do, this Genesis devotional book, you'll have a chance to get that directly from Amazon. The problem with Ray is that he doesn't have that connected to Amazon on his devotional book. So that's the only reason why we have a separate link. Just explain that. Let's do this. Let's have a little bit of our Ashkenazi or Hebrew or Yiddish dictionary. Let's have our music. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ve. Now, the good news about this dictionary information that I'm giving you is I will not be testing you. If I said the words, people would go, that's good. All right. Today's word is schlep. Okay, schlep. Now, many of you are thinking shemp. No, not shemp from the Three Stooges. Schlep. Schlep. It is a verb. The word schlep means to move slowly, awkwardly, or tediously when used of an object. Okay, somebody's calling in on the wrong line. You got to call in on the... I got to call in on the 972 line. Anyway, so to schlep means to carry or to lug. In a sentence, you might see something like this. I don't really feel like schlepping this water bottle everywhere I go, but I don't have a choice. As a noun, schlep is most often used to refer to a journey that is never ending or tedious. An example of how you would use it would be, man, my morning commute is such a schlep. So whenever you're saying, when you drive in Dallas, that's a schlep. It's a good way to think of it. This is such a schlep. Until they invent, transportation via Star Trek, it's going to be that way. Okay. And then the other thing is carrying something around that you don't want to carry around with you. You're schlepping it. You're carrying it wherever you're going. Can be a verb or a noun. You know how many people don't care about that? Just remember the word schlep means carrying around something you don't want to. If it was gold, you wouldn't be schlepping it. You see? You would be like holding it close. But if it was, if you were a guy and it was your wife's shampoo and you kept taking it wherever you were going, then you'd be schlepping it. Okay. Got it? Okay. I don't know why I'm in such a good mood. All right. Let's go to the very next verse. I want to make sure you understand this. By the way, who was the biblical person who said, very important, by the way, I am a man of unclean lips. I am a man of unclean lips. Here's verse 49 of that same text. And the rest, by the way, of verse 48. So we're talking about this guy, Blind Barnabas. And Blind Barnabas, he's shouting out to the Lord, says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He does that. The crowd rebukes him. We just talked about not letting people alter who you are. But look at what the rest of verse 48 says. But he shouted out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and called him, so they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Then throwing the cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Oh, such a great, great text. So you had this part in the last part of 48b. So in scripture, if you don't know it, if there's a lot of scripture, if it's a long scripture, we'll break it down into like 48a, 48b, 48c, 48d, in case you ever see that and you're not sure what that means. That's just a way to break down the scripture further. And so he shouts all the more, which is our great way of saying, don't let anybody stop you from getting God's attention ever. Okay, we've already talked about that. You never let anybody change who you are. You don't let them put their self on you. You go to the Lord with all you can, with all you got, and then all you understand. In case you need a backup reference to ignoring how other people respond, in Mark 5:36, we'll do 5:35 and 5:36. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead." They said, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Verse 36. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Sometimes you just got to ignore people. I'm sorry. That's so rude. Well, tell that to Jesus. He did it. And he left it in Holy Writ as an example. So sometimes you go, I'm not paying attention. I've talked to a relative recently who was trying to tell me everything that was going on in somebody's life that I'm not that close to and don't think that much of. That doesn't mean I don't pray for him. And I said, I don't care. I'm just being honest. It's just like, I'm not taking that stuff in. I already know where that is. That's all Garbageville. I already got enough stuff I got a Garbageville with. Why do I got to add that? So Jesus responds because, one, this is ordained of the Father, and this is part of the journey. And he calls this guy up to the crowd, from the one point they're like, be quiet, shut up, don't talk. And now they're like, cheer up. Get on your feet. He wants to talk to you. So that's how fast a crowd can change, right? That's why you got to stay away from that stuff. That's ridiculous. But Jesus calls this guy up, And the scripture says in verse 50, he threw his cloak aside and jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What's the cloak? The cloak is something that indicates that he's a blind man. And you think, well, why is that important? Because if he's wearing that cloak and somebody attacks him, you know he's being thwarted by somebody because he's blind. He has the indication saying he's blind. Okay? And you think, well, how does that work? How are you sure? I'm going to say this in a nice way, but don't get mad at me about it. But anybody who sees a priest wearing a priest collar knows, oh, that's a priest. I mean, it's not rocket science, right? Well, this guy had one of those big, you know, wasn't a capital B emblazoned on his head, but he had a cloak that said, I'm blind, leave me alone. Okay, same thing. But what did he do? He threw it off. He got rid of it. He got rid of that which held him back, that which reminded him, that which made him think he's going to be that way forever. It's kind of like getting rid of a crutch. But that's the mentality that's going on here. And he dumped it. And as bad as this is going to sound, there are some things that you and I hang on to that just remind us of our infirmity or our failures, and it's like, maybe it's time to get rid of that. I'm not telling you to throw stuff out. I'm not telling you to be a legalist. I'm not doing any of that. But there's some things in our lives that we hang on to that we hold almost as momentums, or almost monuments, I should say, versus momentum. And I didn't say that word. That word's not the right word. It's not momentum. It's whatever. It's something else. Anyway, but it's—
Is it a monument?
No, but that's what we do. We actually make it a monument because what we think of it is really important to keep, and it's something that attaches us to our past, and what it does is remind us of that failure and remind us that we're not moving forward. And in verse 50, this guy threw his cloak off and came right to Jesus. And it's like, you know what? There are things in your life, you're better off just toss them, right? You know, it's one thing to have a baseball mitt, right? Now, I'll give you a perfect example. Want to have a real example, a real discussion? Okay, I used to do quite a bit of drugs, which most of you have figured out by now. And in my early days, when I first became a Christian, you know, I got rid of most of my pipes and my pipes and my bongs and so on and so forth. But there's a couple things that I held on to because they were like very nice, you know, glass plates that I used to cut my cocaine on and so on and so on and so forth. At some point, the Lord said, that's enough. Just get rid of that stuff. You know, you're never going to do that again. Don't keep that. Like, okay. And you think, well, that's not a real thing. Oh, yes, it is. It happens all the time. People hang on to things that keep them attached to the past of that past life. Don't do that. Throw it out. Get rid of it. You don't need to hang on to it. It's a bad idea. Especially if it reminds you of the world you came from, because we're not supposed to be thinking that way. All right? All right. Wish I had more time on that, but I don't. Bottom line, who is the person who said, I am a man of unclean lips? That was Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. We're rounding the corner for the final, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com. Back to normal like you were before. If
you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore. But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So It's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so. You're still teaching a lot of people, so thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. That is the text. The phone number, 972-445-0770. I will say that you'll notice that from day to day, sometimes I do harder questions and sometimes I do easier questions, because I don't want it to be all the same. I want it to be different so that people just never know, you know. It's kind of like when you go up to bat when you're playing baseball. You don't know if the guy's going to throw a fastball or curveball. You don't know. You got to be ready, right? There you go. Working baseball into the illustration. It's about as much baseball as I'm going to watch right there. Sorry. Here's the next trivia question. How many days did it take Nehemiah to inspect the city walls of Jerusalem before he began rebuilding them? How many days did it take him to inspect them? I will tell you that the answer to this is in Nehemiah chapter 1, 2, or 3. You'll have to look around and maybe I'll help you out afterwards. Let me do this. Let me acknowledge the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, and then let me just tell you this real quickly, and then we're going to get into the final. This is really important. Today, by the way, for those that do not know, today is National Kool-Aid Day. It's like, you can't go wrong, right? It's also National Wiffle Ball Day, but I only understand that as the wiffle ball bat that we used to hit each other with when we were young. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's what most people did. The government pension system established the passing out of the United States of Social Security Act in 1935 on this day. Here's something I didn't know. Caught me off guard, actually. 1936, first Olympic basketball championship, the United States defeated Canada to win the gold medal in Berlin. Wait, here's the basketball score. 19-8. You can only sit there and think, how bad were these people? How bad?
That's be horrible.
You have to be horrible. And the people are thinking, well, they didn't cut the Nesbitt thing hadn't happened. They didn't cut the basket yet. If they had not cut the basket and the basket went in and went through a chute and went out to the front of the stadium, it still shouldn't be 19-8. That is pretty bad. And then last but not least, the 1959 of this day, the first photograph of Earth taken from space, .. by mankind, .. happened on this day in 1959, just to let you know. All right, there you go. You like that? That was pretty good. I like stuff like that. All right, so why is it that Dave is harping on this, and you know Dave's harped on this before, about things, tossing things aside, tossing the cloak aside, which really in that particular case, the cloak meant that he needed extra help and extra care. It's kind of, I think, what we use nowadays. They use the cane with the red tip. So you see somebody who's got a red tip that's using a cane in case they're blind. I mean, that's not weird or anything. That's what we do. That's what society does. What's the big deal about this whole thing, Dave? It's pretty much this. Verse 51, where Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Okay? So one of those stories where the guy gets to follow Jesus. He doesn't always get to follow Jesus. The guy that was in the tombs did not get to follow Jesus. So sometimes you get to and sometimes you don't. But the key understanding is that this guy, he had faith to be healed. Sometimes it's your friend's faith. Sometimes the person's faith. Sometimes the father's faith. Sometimes it's your faith. That all that works together. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Shalom, David. This is Sam.
Hi, Sam. Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. I was just praying for you yesterday because I hadn't talked to you in a while, and I hoped you were doing good. It's so wonderful.
Good. Actually, I tried to call you yesterday, but I was on the road, so when I pulled on the side, your time was ending, and I was giving to the answer.
Oh, my goodness. How awesome to hear your voice, brother. I love you. I'm so happy to hear from you.
Earlier I was listening, and you were having a Joe Biden moment that you were startling with your words. You know what I mean.
Yeah, that's awesome, my brother. Awesome to hear your voice.
It said 3 days, Jeremiah. It took him 3 days to inspect the wall.
Okay, now, how many days? I think of that, because I want you to look at that. There's. Remember in the Jewish custom, and I think you're aware of this, any part of a day is a full day, which is why when Jesus was buried at night and then he rose in the morning,
it's
3 days. So it would be a total of same amount as the res, same amount as Jesus. What would be that about? Same amount as Jonah.
3 days and three nights.
So 3 days. You got it, my friend. You are the champion.
Yeah.
You are awesome. I love you. I'm so happy you called. You just made my whole weekend. That is so awesome that you called.
It's so good to hear.
It's so good to hear your voice too. I mean, when you used to call, and we used to talk to you all the time. It was so much fun.
Yeah. So it happened to be from last 2 days. I have to leave at this time. So.
Well, our privilege.
Said, man, I'm missing my friend David Spoon.
God bless you, my friend. It's so great to hear your voice.
Good. Well, Shabbat Shalom and have a happy weekend.
Thank you, my brother.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that's such a delight. Oh, that's nice for me. That's a little gift for Dave. Okay. So I want to go back to this teaching. So it's 3 days. Okay, so 3 days. Inspect the wall. If you need a kind of a reference point for those that are trying to figure it out, you could probably use Nehemiah 2, 11, 12, and 13 would be the verses that you'd want to use. All right, so why is Dave harping on this, and why is he, you know, what's the dude's issue? Here it is. Because we hang on to things that slow us down from approaching Jesus. And then what we do is we come in and we maybe pull some stuff from the past with us. And the bottom line is the closer you get into the Lord, the more you get into the Lord, the more you and I have to be willing to cut out. It's just like, got to get rid of that. If you've got you're going to hate me for saying this. I love you. I'm not trying to get you mad or anything like that. But if you've got a place that you go to where that place facilitates your quick departure from the faith, stop going there. I mean, just stop going there. You want to go after the Lord tells you to, great. But if you need that space, get that space. And what's going on is that people who come to Jesus and people who come back to Jesus and people who come to Jesus every day need to have this understanding of throwing off that which is old and starting new again. You know what tomorrow is? Different than today. You know what yesterday is? Lost. Nobody cares. It's gone. It's out. What matters is what you're doing now and what's available tomorrow. It's like, well, I could have done this. I should have done this. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, it's like ifs and buts. If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day. I mean, come on. Seriously, stop. What you, one of the things that we're told in Scripture is very specific. It said, look, and Paul said in Philippians 3:13, I don't consider myself to have taken hold, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me and pressing forward to what's before me. Every day that you come fresh to Jesus, let it go. Whatever cloak you're wearing, just take it off. Start fresh. Yeah, Dave, but I did this wrong. Hey, guess what? Jesus knows. Hey, but I'm stuck in this. Guess what? Jesus knows. Ask for help. And I'll say this in the nicest way. So in earlier in the 70s and 80s, when they had not just the televangelists, but some of the tent evangelists, it would be if the person doesn't have enough faith, they wouldn't get healed. All that stuff's rubbish, okay? When this guy, he had a lot of faith, Jesus, you know, pointed out that faith, that guy got healed. People pray for other people. The person prays for them. Everybody involved has faith, okay? I mean, the four guys that let the guy down through the roof, it was their faith. It wasn't the guy's faith. It changes all the time in all the circumstances. None of that means anything. Here's what means something. Forget what happened yesterday. Don't hold on to stuff that will slow you down or pull you back from Jesus. Let that stuff go. Go forward and start fresh. You're going into this weekend. You have no idea what's going to happen, except for you can go into this weekend with this freshness in the Lord. And there's somebody out there, oh, Dave, you know, I might sit down with my family and have a glass of wine. Congratulations. I could care. No, start the weekend fresh in the Lord. I can't say that any more. What's any firmer, more firmly, more firmestly? I don't know. The Lord wants to pour upon you his presence and his blessing of who he is in your communion and your fellowship with him. Don't pull something in there that's going to pull you back. Don't pull something into that relationship. That's like a guy having a bad relationship with a girl going into the next relationship and bringing all the same garbage back in. Don't do that. That's dumb. Don't do that. Yeah, a little relationship advice. We give everything here. All right, folks, you got to have a great weekend. I only got like 5 seconds, so I'll make it really simple. I love you in the Lord, and I pray for you each and every day. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.